from assistant coach Gary Shuchuk. Don't forget that Coach Pearson will be calling in a little bit later on this hour, too, and answering some of your questions. It's all part of the Mel Pearson Show right after this on Mix 93.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Do you hear it? For some, the sound is clear. It's that distant awakening warrior call that spurs you on to action. It pushes you to become more than you, your friends, your coach, or family ever imagined. But wait, is nagging foot pain fading your resolve? Don't surrender. Dr. Reminga at Northern Foot Care Center hears your warrior call. He's ready to tackle your foot pain head on. Today is not the day for failure. We've got this. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Coca-Cola is dedicating radio time to unsung heroes. This one goes out to the volunteer snowplowers. While Old Man Winter is dishing out snow, you're dishing out generosity. At the crack of dawn, you fire up the snowplow and hit every school, hospital, strip mall, and office park within 20 miles. And you do it with a smile. You deserve a delicious, refreshing, ice-cold Coke in return. Share a Coke with your hero. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Stop in at the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub for Sushi Tuesday from 4 till 11. Their fish is flown in overnight from the world-famous Honolulu Fish Company in Hawaii, featuring the highest quality and freshest sashimi-grade fish available worldwide. Sushi restaurants all over the globe buy from the Honolulu Fish Company. Now the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub get the same fish you would get in eateries in Chicago, New York, and L.A. Stop in for Sushi Tuesdays at the Library and taste something great.
Welcome back to the Mel Pearson Show here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Assistant Coach Gary Shuchuk is with us, and we are ready to talk about Saturday night's game. And not a lot of scoring in this game. The Huskies playing very good defensively and end up with a 1-1 overtime tie. We do get the extra point with the shootout. But, again, the gist of this game, Gary, your thoughts on Saturday night's game maybe a little bit more compared to Friday night's game.
Well, I'm pretty sure if you're a fan of Michigan Tech hockey, you went to their game. Now, you know, basically we were in the penalty box the whole time, and I think some of the calls were very, very, very questionable. And I think that's a frustration that we had as a coaching staff and as a program. I think that at one time Coach Mel said the penalties were 7-1 or
eight to one.
Yeah, so man. I mean, that's six. That's a period of hockey in the penalty box, and you look back at the penalties. It's just like, where were they? What were they? You know, out of the eight calls, how many were really, you know, penalties? I mean, that's the hard part that we understand that. But realistically, you know, guys got to realize that the officiating is not going to be NHL quality, and you know, you can't give these guys an opportunity to call stuff. So I mean, it's tough, but you want to play hard. But you know, the frustrating part as a player, you know, you have the same guys ref from Friday and Saturday. Friday, it looked like whatever penalties we got on Saturday, they let go. Mm-hmm. So as a player, you're kind of going, well, how am I supposed to play? And so I see the frustration in our guys, you know. But, you know, it was going both ways. And I think that's the part that really is unfair, that has to be addressed as a league. But it's, you know, both teams had the officials. And, you know, we got to understand that that's what's going to happen. Once again, our penalty killing was phenomenal. Joe Sean's been great with those guys. Getting them ready every weekend, and the guys have been playing, you know, sacrificing their bodies. But once again, when you have that many penalties, it takes the flow of the game away. You have certain guys are sitting on the bench. They're not playing for 16 minutes. They're basically sitting there. Coach Mel's trying to do his best to get the guys back in the game. Some guys are sitting there, you know, their legs are getting tired, you know. So it takes the flow away from the game, and the guys have been killing penalties for that amount of time. You know, they're getting tired, so when it comes on the regular shift, you know, can they still, you know, perform to their, you know, top quality?
And I think most people don't, even though Mel constantly talks about that, and you guys do, about those guys that sit, that are 5-on-5 guys. They don't play any special teams. They're very important to the team. They can score 5-on-5, but they're just not in the system of the special teams. And for them sitting that long, you know, it's like a goaltender having to go in halfway through the third period and replace, you know, I mean, yeah. That's a tough thing to do.
You know, when I played, you know, when I first came up with Detroit, you know, I had one shift in a period, but, you know, the guys got to realize you have to be ready, and it's tough. You want to get out there, but when you get out there and when it's your shift, you got to perform. You know, there's no questions. It's you got to be ready to go. And, you know, you just got to keep mentally prepared on the bench. And when you get your name or your line gets called, go out there and give it.
No score in the first period until the 14-11 mark. And again, it's the Seawolves getting the first goal of the game.
Loose puck in the high slot, and the Seawolves swing it over. And here is Ennell trying to get down, and he tripped up on the play. Azardia right to the net and scored. Tipped in past goaltender Redman right in front of him.
And that play, Coach, I watched the replay. It looks like nothing is going on. It looks like we defend it perfect. I don't know if it was Mark Ock that looked like he had possession, or maybe it was Matt Roy, but it seemed like we had everything going there, and then, boom, it's in the net.
Yeah. We're doing the same thing. We said the same thing on the bench. What happened? You know, sort of thing. But, you know, that's what happens. You know, you have control of the play. You're doing everything that's supposed to happen. One small breakdown, and the next thing you know, you're down 1-0.
So the Huskies down 1-0 after one period of play, even though they outshoot UAA 12-7 in the first period. We go to the second period, and not until late, and a very, very big goal on many levels, including Chris Gehry's first of his career.
He'll turn it over, and a pass up. Gehry coming down, looking for his first ever. Shoots, and he found on it. Brought it to his forehand, and he missed it. He'll get it again. Shoots, and a save. Scores! Huskies tied up. Was it Gehry?
Little delayed reaction down there because I wasn't sure if Gehry's shot had gone in or if I'm trying to remember who else was right there was batting it in too, but he got it, and that was a big goal for him.
Yeah, we came to the bench and said, "What, you didn't want to score in the breakaway? You know, you're trying to make things harder." But, you know, it's always exciting when a freshman scores their first collegiate goal. I think that it's a special time in their careers and you know, something to be proud of that. You know, they score their first goal, and now, you know, now the floodgates hopefully can be open for the kid. He's been playing good hockey. He's been fun to work with, and hopefully now he can continue to get more goals.
Who did you score your first collegiate goal against?
You wouldn't believe it. Michigan Tech.
It was, eh?
Yep, Michigan Tech. Tony Granato made the assist.
And was that at Dane County? Or?
No, it was here.
It was here.
It was here, yeah.
You told me that.
I'm trying to think who the goalie was, but Tony took a shot from the side of the goal line, went up and over the goalie's shoulders, wide open net, just tapped it in. I always tell everybody it went top shelf.
So Chris Gehry gets the goal. That's the end of the scoring. No scoring in the third period, even though, again, a ton of chances. We saw Tyler Hannon, we saw Reed Sturros. So many, and Mike Neville had great chances there, just wasn't going in the net. Reed just, I don't know when that was, when Reed made that great individual effort. That might have been back in the first period. But that was something of, that was really nice.
And that kind of sets the tone for how guys will play. Mm-hmm. You know, if you score a goal early, if you go out and do a play like that and you score a goal like that, your confidence is off the charts. You go, I feel great. If you don't score, then you start kind of, not, I don't want to say gripping the stick, but also you start pressing. And for a time there, you know, Reed during the game was pressing. Like, he was really getting frustrated with the puck. Then all of a sudden, he came to the bench, calmed him down a bit, and said, "Hey, you're doing fine." Then he started just playing and controlling the puck and making moves. And he looked great out there. And then, but, you know, once again, the puck didn't go in the net for him. But it's, you know, just one of those things that you got to keep on the same page and keep working, because once you start cheating on the wrong side of the puck, you try to be more offensive, you don't take care of the defense, well, next thing you know, the puck's going to be in your net, then, you know, he's playing catch up. You play the team system, eventually things will work out and you'll be rewarded.
You talk about how important it is for a team like Michigan Tech to have puck control. 32 wins on the faceoffs, 27 losses. It seems pretty even there, but Mike Neville was outstanding. 14 wins, 7 losses again as a centerman.
Well, like I said, he's one of those guys. Our centermen take pride in their faceoffs. I think we work on it a lot. But I told Mikey, you know, you can make a career out of being a faceoff centerman, winning faceoffs. I mean, teams are always looking for guys that are good defensively and winning faceoffs. And I think he wants a chance to play at the, you know, pro at the next level after college. And I said, you know, everybody thinks it's all about points, but, you know, there's teams, you got to have good defensive guys. You got to have guys that the coach can throw out to take a face off and win a draw, and he's been doing it for us.
He's been really good, and like you said, so good defensively and on the penalty kill. The Huskies ended up with killing off, I think, nine penalties.
Yeah,
in
that's, game. It, that,